Right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a living word. We thank you that we can read it freely. And Lord, as we look at it together this morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit will open our hearts to receive all that you want to say to us. And Lord, help us through your word to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder what it takes to get your attention. Even now, I wonder how engaged you are with the service. Or are your thoughts wandering, oh, what time shall I put the oven on? And what we're having for lunch, or whatever. My experience of teaching young children is that some find it very hard to stay on task. And they'll ask all kinds of questions or distractions rather than concentrate on the task in hand. But as adults, I wonder how often do we give someone our full attention? In today's passage, we see that God got Moses' full attention through a burning bush. A bush that was on fire, but didn't burn up. A supernatural occurrence. I wonder then what God needs to do before you and I really give God our full attention, that full undivided attention. I know that when I do, unsurprisingly, I hear him speak to me more often. And yet in the busyness of lives, there's always distractions around us. Maybe this coming week we can reflect on this and give God some of your uninterrupted full attention. This passage has got many lessons for us. But our theme today, as Matthew mentioned, is the first series in knowing God. As we look at it in the Old Testament and as God reveals himself to us. But let's look first of all at verse 4. God speaks to Moses when he's got that undivided attention. And Moses responds by saying, "Here I am." And God then reveals to Moses that because he's in his presence, he is on holy ground. But no, God doesn't say to him, "Right, move back, go away." No, God says to him, "Take off your sandals, and then you can stand in my presence." And you know, that reminds me that we too can be in God's presence, not by removing our shoes, but by God's Son, Jesus Christ. Because he tore down that barrier between us and God the Father through his work on the cross. As it tells us in Matthew's Gospel, as Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. The curtain that separated the people from the Holy of Holies, where God was present. Jesus did that for you, and he did that for me. He removed that barrier of sin by taking our punishment of sin upon himself. Isn't that amazing? That you and me, just like Moses, we can stand in the presence of Almighty God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we think of that, surely that means that we should give God some of our undivided full attention. But let's also see in verses 7 to 10, what kind of God we see here. And I think this is very pertinent to the present times. If you look at verse 7, look at the verbs. I have seen. I have heard. I am concerned. I have compassion about. All in verse 7. This is God who is looking at his world. He's looking at the people of Israel. He is sovereign. He sees, he hears, he has compassion. And then, verse 8, so I've come down to rescue them. God takes the initiative. And we as his people need to pray that he will do that. Just as Moses was called to act on God's behalf before the Egyptians, then we too, as God's people, are called to pray. especially in these challenging times where we've got a pandemic around the world. But then we see Moses ask two questions. He asks, first of all, the question, who am I? And then he asks the question of God, who are you? Who am I? In verse 11 of chapter 3. Who am I? And every one of us should know that we are created by God and made in His image. That's why the book of Genesis is so important. It shows us that God is the one who has created us. And as we look in a minute at what God called Himself, we see that He is not created. He is, but we are created. And we see too that Moses recognized his inability to put right the wrongs of Egypt. He knew that he couldn't do it. How can I be the one to go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He recognized his inability. In that song that we sang a minute ago, it said, sometimes I think I can do things on my own, but I need to trust God. And this is Moses saying, I know I can't do it on my own. And how often do we think that we can do things on our own without God's help? We must recognize that, just like Moses said, we can't put right our own wrongs, our own wrongdoing, our own sins, let alone the wrongs of the world. We are indeed helpless without God. We may have many gifts that God has given us, but we still need God's power through the Holy Spirit to fully activate those gifts that He's given to us. And just look at what God says to Moses. First of all, He doesn't say, oh, you're a great guy, Moses. You've learned so much being prince in Egypt and a shepherd in the wilderness. Of course you can do it. Get on with it. That's often the worldly answer, isn't it? Of course you can do it, just do it. But no, God doesn't say that. Look at verse 12. God says, I will be with you. Or, I am with you. This is all sufficient. The only thing that we really need, I am with you. That is what God says to each one of us. Just as Jesus said to his followers, to his disciples, at the end of Matthew's gospel, I am with you to the end of the age. But Moses had a second question. Who are you? What is your name? Of course, he asks about it in a roundabout way. He says, well, the Israelites are going to ask me that, so I need to ask you. We don't need to find roundabout ways of asking God things. We can speak to Him and ask Him. And so God says in verse 14, I am who I am. It's revealing, isn't it? This is God telling us who He is, but it's also at the same time mysterious. As the great Old Testament scholar Alec Mateer said, it conceals as much as it tells us. But let's unpack it a little. God was known as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. But now He reveals more of who He is. Here the Hebrew word that is used is the verb to be. And it has two meanings, to exist and to have that active presence. And so we see that God exists. He is not created. He is different from created beings. And He is ever-present and ever-active. He is vital in the created world that He has made. But it's not just His omnipresence. It's more than that. It's that God is at work in the world. And just as that flame in the bush didn't need nourishing, it didn't need a bush to burn, that flame just burned. And so God is the same sufficiency. He's not dependent on anyone or anything. He is self-independent. He's unfettered liberty. We see in this his absolute sovereignty. Later on in Exodus chapter 33, it says these words, on whom I will have mercy, I will have mercy. In other words, he is the author of grace, a benefactor of grace. He is sovereign. He's actively present with us. But he alone decides how and when and what he will do. But we do know he always loves and works for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. However, we see in this that God is God. He alone is God. This revelation is a wonderful thing and a privilege, but also a reminder that he is God and we are his created people. We should be in awe of him and reverence before him. In the words, I am who I am, we also see that he is unchangeable. We see that constancy, that faithfulness. He is the inexhaustible God. He chooses to reveal himself, but there is so much more. We're reminded in the New Testament, of course, that we live under that umbrella of the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And God is that. He is inexhaustible, unsearchable. But we do know, as we see here, that God is a God of self-revelation through his word. His word to Adam, his word to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and now to Moses. His self-existence, his active presence, his constancy and faithfulness. It includes all of our time, past, present and to come. Surely this is reassuring and comforting to know. He is not fickle. He is constant, caring, loving God who is actively present in our world. The world that he has created, he alone has got sovereign power. He's not confined to time. He is past, present, and to come. He is not only I am, what I am in the presence, but I am what I have been. I am what I shall be and shall be what I am. So how can this help us in these difficult, challenging times? Well, I believe it gives us great reassurance. And as I was preparing this, it lifted my spirits to know that God is I am. To know that he is actively present in our world. It lifts my spirits, and I hope it lifts your spirits, to know that we have a God who is not only truly sovereign, but one who sees, who hears, who has compassion, and initiates a rescue plan. And we need his work in our world. And just as Moses was called, you and me too are called to pray for God's love, for God's grace, for his mercy on you and me and on our land and on the world that he has made. I hope this lifts your spirits as you see that we have a great God, a God who has created us in his own image, a God who loves us. A God who is actively present in our world with a rescue plan. And ultimately, it is his world and he is sovereign. As we look to him, let's pray for his grace and mercy upon us, our country, but on the whole world and the people that whom he has created. Amen. Amen.